Our text is from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Once again, we are moving very, very slowly through this second chapter of the second inspired epistle of Paul to Timothy. This, as I mentioned many times, is a very, very important chapter of the Bible that really every minister of the gospel ought to be very familiar with. But as I mentioned also, that if the ministers are to be familiar with it, then every member of the church are to be familiar with it. Indeed, many of the things that the Apostle Paul say to ministers of the gospel, he says to all of us who are the sons and daughters of God. Now in this chapter, we have a very beautiful sevenfold picture of what the minister should be. We see how the Apostle Paul speaks of how the minister should be like a child, like a soldier, like an athlete, like a farmer, like a workman, like a honorable utensil, and then finally he will speak of how the minister must be like a servant or a born slave. Now we'll consider the first six analogies. Last Sabbath we considered how the minister ought to be a vessel or utensil of honor. But now, before he proceeds to paint the final picture, Paul makes a couple of remarks that appears to be connected and yet not so tightly connected to both the sixth and the seventh analogy. In any case, what he's saying is really very important for ministers of the gospel to take heed to. For this reason, this morning, the Lord helping us, we want to consider the first of these two statements. The second statement we will consider when we look at the final analogy, because it's more closely tied to that. But Paul says in verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now this morning, the Lord helping us, we want to consider this statement under four heads. First, flight, not fight, is what is needed in youthful lusts. Secondly, lusts of youth are not only sexual. Thirdly, even older saints can be tempted. And finally, every true believer would rather pursue godly virtues. First then, fleeing, not fighting, or flight, not fight, is needed with youthful lusts. Paul says, flee also youthful lusts. Now, to flee is to run away or to escape. Usually we flee from dangers, perceived dangers. Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus and fled to Egypt when they knew that Herod wanted to kill him. The word used there in Matthew chapter 2 is the same as the word used here, to flee. When the Lord Jesus was arrested, the disciples forsook him and fled. Mark was in such a haste to flee that he left his clothes behind. We read that in Mark 14. We instinctively flee when we sense danger. If a house is on fire, you will flee. If a fierce dog runs towards you barking angrily, you will probably flee if you see that you are likely to be hurt by it. You don't need to be told to flee. You do it instinctively. But now there are some circumstances under which you will not flee even though you are confronted with danger. What are they? Well, in the first place, you will not flee if you do not know there is danger. If you are, for example, hiking in the Malaysian jungle with your children, young children, all hiking, enjoying the hike, and then you come across, in a bush, a slow loris. You know a slow loris? Little creature with beady eyes, black and white, very cute. Will you run away? Will you keep your children away from it? Well, it's so slow, so cute. You probably will not keep them away from that slow loris, would you? Well, you wouldn't run away because you don't know, do you, that this slow loris is actually the only poisonous primate. You see this creature, very cute, rubbing his eye like that, rubbing, and you say, whoa, so cute, you want to carry him. What is he doing there? When he's doing that, he's actually putting poison on his teeth. His poisonous pet on his elbow. Well, you don't run away because you don't know. But secondly, Were you free? You were free if you think that you cannot fight the danger of the big dog is coming towards you, you flee. But what if you think that you can fight the danger? What if, for example, the dog that's charging at you is not really a big dog, but a little poodle? You may decide not to embarrass yourself by fleeing, even if you sense that you may be hurt a little. You know, the poodle comes and nip at your heel a little bit. Of course, it will be different if you suffer from cynophobia, fear of dogs. Now, Paul tells Timothy and really all of us to flee youthful lusts. He does not say fight youthful lusts, but flee youthful lusts. Now this is important because youthful lusts, unlike fire in the house or rabid dog, do not appear dangerous. In fact, they often look more like that angry little poodle or even a cuddly, slow loris. We may be tempted to ignore them, or we may think we can resist and fight them. Some of us under temptation may even be tempted to give in to lust because of the pleasures they promise. It's just too tempting to touch that slow loris if you see one. It looks like a little cuddly koala. It looks too cute to bite. You know, it's like scratching, the temptation to scratch. You know, sin or youthful lust never look, you know, in reality, never look like a slow loris or a cuddly koala. But it is like that in a sense that it draws us to do it. It's like this temptation to want to scratch. You have a bum on your skin and it's very itchy and you want to scratch it, isn't it? You feel like you need to scratch it in order to fulfill the need that you have. It feels good to scratch. That's why doctors sometimes get very frustrated when people come to them having all the things that are very itchy, and you tell them not to scratch, to apply the cream, but they keep scratching, and it gets worse and worse and worse. It's like that, you see, because it gives you that sense of satisfaction, just like when you're on a hug that koala, it gives you a sense of satisfaction to touch that slow loris, sense of satisfaction. And same for youthful lust, gives you the sense of satisfaction. But of course, in the case of youthful lust, remember, it has to do with your moral choices. It has to do with your acts. It has to do with your response. And you are tempted to want to go in that direction because it will feel good to your old man. But flee you must. But what is it to flee? What is the difference between fleeing youthful lust and fighting youthful lust? Well, to fight youthful lust, you simply deal with the situation only when it arises. And you continue to remain in the situation even if you sense that youthful lust is arising in your heart. As I mentioned, it's like scratching the itch. You have the itch there and it's drawing you towards it. And you go scratch it. It's just like fighting that youthful lust, trying to get away to itch, you see. On the other hand, to flee is to avoid or run away from the situation. To flee requires you to preempt and to be alert to what is happening in your heart and alert to what can happen. Instead of scratching the itch, he who flees youthful lust resolve not to scratch, and also resolve not to end up in a situation where he gets itchy. For example, you know, if he finds that he's weak and always will have to scratch it, make sure you have mosquito repellent. Or make sure he doesn't eat some food to cause allergy. He takes precautions so that he doesn't get into the situation where he's tempted and he gives in to temptation. Joseph sets us a very good example. He knew that Potiphar's wife was infatuated with him, and so he refused to be with her. We are told that specifically in the Word of God in Genesis 39. No doubt he refused to be with her because he knew that he could be tempted to sin too. We can imagine how he would avoid being in the house alone with her. But then on the one occasion, when it became impossible for him not to enter the house when she was alone, then what happened? Well, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. She grabbed him. What did he do? He fled. He ran away, leaving behind his garment. Oh, beloved brethren, young people, children, learn from Joseph. Never imagine that you're strong enough to resist youthful lusts. Flee from them. Flee from situations in which you are under temptation. Abstain from all appearance of evil, says Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you know that you can easily be tempted to sin in a particular situation, avoid the situation. Flee from it. If you're going to be tempted to sin, if you access a computer when you're alone at home, then do not access a computer at home. If being alone with someone provokes you to lust in your heart, then avoid being alone with the person. To flee youthful lusts, we must take all possible care and pains to keep ourselves pure from them, says Matthew Henry. Remember that fleeing, not fighting, is the way to deal with youthful lusts. And now, secondly, let us remember that lusts of youth are not only sexual in nature. It is commonly thought that Paul is thinking of sexual sin that concerns the breaking of the seventh commandment. Perhaps part of the reason is because Paul had also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flee fornication. That is, do not sin the sin of breaking the seventh commandment. Run away from it. Well, it is important for young people, teenagers and young adults, to be mindful of their weaknesses and so to flee from sexual lust. Many have fallen to this sin and brought much sorrow and pain unto themselves. Sometimes their pain continue on and on because of guilt in their heart. Even if no one discovers, they feel their pain and their sorrow, their guilt. And then the pain can spread to others who love them, and they are sorrowful because of what has happened and consequences that follow. Now this is a sin that young people must especially take heed lest they fall. Ministers of the gospel must also take heed. Many a minister of the gospel have fallen because they taught themselves to be strong enough not to fall into this particular temptation. And so they take upon themselves to counsel themselves in distress alone. Sadly, all too often, pity and compassion eventually give way to tenderness and lust. I say not love, because love is legal, lust is illicit. So let us take heed to avoid situations that may lead us to be tempted by fleshly lust. But make no mistake. In the context of our text, it appears that the apostle is not primarily concerned about sexual lust. This is actually quite clear by the alternative behavior that Paul enjoins. He says, but follow, pursue after righteousness, faith, charity, faith, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, flee youthful lust, but instead pursue righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Apparently, righteousness, faith, charity, and peace are directly antithetical to youthfulness. For this reason, we agree with Calvin that by the term youthfulness, Paul does not mean either a propensity to uncleanness or any of those licentious causes for sinful lust in which young men frequently indulge, but any impetuous passions to which the excessive warmth of that age is prone. If some debate has arisen, young men more quickly grow warm, are more easily irritated, more frequently blunder through want of experience and rush forward with greater confidence and rashness than men of riper age. In other words, Paul is aware that Timothy, as a young man, could easily fall into sin against the Lord just because young men tend to be more impetuous. They tend to jump into conclusion. They say and do things that they may regret later. Along the way, they give in to the lust of the flesh more easily. I'm referring, for example, to the lust of the flesh to speak sinfully or aggressively. The flesh always cries vengeance, and he always feels good to take vengeance or to react in kind. Someone is rude towards you, the flesh will want to be rude in return. Someone step on your toe, the flesh will want to do the same. For a young person who is living according to the flesh and not according to the spirit, not reacting in a fleshly way can almost be unbearable. This is why a young person can often be vindictive and quarrelsome. Instead of acting righteously, he acts according to what he feels right, according to the flesh. Instead of walking by faith, he gives him to cold, calculated walking by sight. He does cost-benefit analysis almost on the fly and instinctively. Instead of viewing another person charitably, he becomes judgmental and critical, or he begins to assess the person's value according to worldly standards to see whether he should engage in the person or not to engage in the person. Instead of seeking peace, he provokes war. He just can't stand it that he doesn't have the last word. But this kind of impetuousness can leave many a young minister and indeed many a young believer with painful, painful regrets. For even if they regret and repent, the damage could already be done. Some relationships, once broken, can hardly be restored on this side of eternity. And some actions have painful consequences that will not easily be forgotten. For this reason, Paul reminds Timothy and all ministers to flee youthful lusts. But beloved, let all of us who are younger, young adults, teenagers, etc., take heed to this counsel. Flee youthful lusts. And remember, this youth, this lust of youth, is not necessarily sexual in nature. Do not flee, do not give in to the temptation of the old man to do according to what your flesh desires for you to do. But let us also bear in mind, thirdly, that even older saints can be tempted. Paul is warning Timothy against youthful lust, but what exactly is youthful? Most commentators believe that Timothy was in his early 40s. Was Timothy young? But 10 years later, when Timothy would be in his 50s, would he still be young and youthful? Would Paul's instruction be still relevant to him? Well, let me put it this way. Is Paul's instruction only for those who are 40 and below in this congregation? But I do not think so. I believe the reason Paul speaks of youthful lust is because in general, those who are younger tend to struggle more with these kinds of temptation. Nature and experience teaches us that this is true, isn't it? It is a fact, for example, that a young adult is more likely to be tempted by the lust of the flesh than an octogenarian. So likewise, a young person is more likely to be tempted by all sorts of youthful lust, such as impetuousness, as compared to a more mature, elderly person. But make no mistake, although younger persons must especially take heed because they can more easily fall into the sins of youth, it does not mean that an older person is immune. How was Abraham when he had Isaac? He was capable of being tempted. How old was he when he took Keturah to wife? Even if they lived longer in those days, he was still very old. What about the sin of impetuousness, of inordinate anger, of giving in to the flesh, of being faithless, of being judgmental and quarrelsome? All these are youthful lusts. How old was Moses when he struck the rock in anger? Have you not seen older persons quarreling like children? So two older persons are perfectly capable of impetuousness and inordinate anger. Sometimes when you see older persons behaving like that, we say they're behaving like children. Simply because these are the things that affect youth more. But it does affect older persons, doesn't it? Older persons, in other words, must also flee youthful lusts. Therefore, beloved brethren, whether you're older or younger, take heed, flee youthful lusts. For the sake of your testimony for Christ, flee youthful lusts. Be aware of your own weaknesses. Do not excuse yourself or say that it's just your nature, your character. Paul does not call us to flee if youthful lusts are just poodles. No, no, their looks may be deceiving, but they are really like spiritual Rottweilers or pit bulls, dangerous dogs. You must flee from them rather than simply fight them, or worse, ignore them or give in to them. Do not allow yourselves to get to a point when you're likely to fall. Know yourself. Do you tend to become sarcastic and mean when speaking with someone whom you do not agree with? Then your youthful lust may have to do with self-righteousness, so much so that you are blinded by your own unrighteousness. In that case, will you not flee your youthful lust by resolving to learn, to listen, to be swift to hear, slow to speak? Will you not resolve never to reply immediately to an email or SMS because it provokes your flesh? Seek to be righteous, to honor Christ, the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah Zikanu. Do you find yourself agitated by changes in outward circumstances? Do you find yourself devastated or much irritated when you lose the things of this present world, when your children break your favorite vase, or when you cannot have things your way because you want to enjoy a quiet evening, and then your children come along the way and ask for help in this and that? Do you find yourself easily agitated because of these changes in outward circumstances or what you want to do? Then perhaps your lusts have to do with walking by faith rather than walking by sight rather than by faith. You want to do things your way. You find happiness is according to what you think happiness should be. Have you put your faith in your possession and outward comforts? Or will you not flee from it? Repent of your covetousness and ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit so that you can be content in Christ in every circumstance. Or do you tend to be negative and resentful toward those who gets into your way, or who are not up to your standard? Then perhaps your youthful lust may have to do with being uncharitable and unkind. Then will you not remember not to allow unhappiness to fester in your heart? Flee your youthful lust. Seek to have the mind of Christ and meditate on how the Lord Jesus show you love despite your unworthiness. Seek to honor Christ who taught us to love by first loving us. Or do you tend to be hot-tempered? You find yourself easily provoked to sinful and uncontrolled anger. Then perhaps your youthful lusts have to do with a lack of peace in your heart. Then see to it that you do not let yourself get into the situation where you boil over. Repent. Repent of your rage. Remember, it's something that you can help. It is to do with your will. It's a choice. You can repent from your anger. Learn to manage your anger. Learn to walk away if necessary, and walk away in prayer. Don't just say, I have anger, therefore I walk away, so I'll just bottle up the anger. There's no such thing as bottling up anger. Anger cannot be bottled up, actually. It has to do with your will, your choices. Seek to honor Christ, the Prince of Peace. Remember, even older saints must flee from youthful lusts. How much those of us who are younger? All of us must flee youthful lusts. But remember also, don't just flee. You must also follow. For fourthly, every true believer would rather pursue godly virtues. Paul says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of your heart. It is an imperative for us to flee youthful lusts. Unless we flee youthful lusts, we'll grieve the Spirit of Christ and we'll bring much sorrow upon ourselves and on those that love us, who care most for us. Instead of being an instrument of blessing the church, we can become destructive forces in the church. But remember that fleeing by itself is not enough. Christianity is not merely about not doing this or that. Christianity is about being Christ-like. It's about living a life of joy and imitation of Him. For this purpose, you must pursue or follow after godly virtues. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Them that calls on the Lord out of pure hearts no doubt refers to true believers. Only true believers can, with all honesty of heart, follow after these things, not hypocritically. What do these true believers pursue after? But rather than the world and all the things that youthful lusts crave after, their sincere heart's desire is for righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. They seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. They desire in their heart of hearts to be holy, for Christ, their Savior, is holy. So they would discipline themselves in order that they may live according to righteous principles, even principles that cultivate righteousness. Then they seek to build their faith by faithful hearing of God's word. For Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They are conscious of their lack of faith, and so they pray importunately that the Lord will strengthen their faith. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, increase our faith. And so they seek to put their faith into practice. They seek to walk by faith, not by sight. And they seek, furthermore, to have deeper charity in their heart by meditating often on the love of Christ. Only holy love will cure unholy lusts. They seek to cultivate charity by exercising love toward thy neighbor at every opportunity that God presents them. Again, they seek peace by imitating the Prince of Peace. They try to be peacemakers as far as it lies with them. They seek to live peaceably with all men as far as it lies with them. They would rather suffer wrong if it does not impinge on the name of Christ or disrupt the peace of Jerusalem. Brethren, youth, you must pursue after the same thing. Pursue righteousness. Don't pursue after the things of this world. Don't pursue after the latest gadgets. Pursue faith. Make sure you listen to the word of God. One of your youthful lusts will be to fall asleep during worship service. That will lead you not to listen to the word of God. Avoid that. Flee. Don't just say, I'll fight it. I'll sit there and fight it. How to avoid it? How to flee? Sleep early. Don't play computer games the night before. Don't watch the television late into the night and then come on the Lord's Day and then you're dozing away when the Word of God is being preached. Seek charity. Lay down your life for one another. Seek peace. Learn from the Prince of Peace. These are the things that those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart will pursue after. These are the things that every child of God must pursue after. These are the antidote for youthful lusts. unless you are by the grace of God pursuing after these things, you'll be like a dog returning to the vomit, like a pig going back to wallow in the mud. The vomit, the mud. These are the pleasures afforded by youthful lusts. But if, on the other hand, you flee youthful lusts and pursue after godly virtues, you will grow in Christ. You'll be an honorable vessel. You'll be blessed, so that you may be a blessing to the covenant community and to those whom you care the most for. Most of all, you will magnify Christ. We say all these things because we do love the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? And we desire that His name be magnified. But now we must conclude. Let us recap with four propositions. First, flight, not fight, is what is needed in response to youthful lusts. Secondly, lust of youth is not necessarily sexual. It covers impetuousness, all things pertaining to the young person. Thirdly, even older sins can be tempted to fall under youthful lusts. Finally, every true believer will want to pursue after godly virtues. Now, we have already drawn some application as we went along. What remains for us really is for us to ask ourselves again, have I been giving in to youthful lusts? Have I dishonored the Lord and strained relationships because of impetuousness? Have I repented and sought forgiveness from those I have stumbled and offended? Oh, may the Lord grant that we may truly pursue after peace, joy, and love in Israel as the disciples of Christ, even as we learn to be like Christ, to be meek, humble, righteous, faithful, believing, charitable, and peaceable. Amen. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, once again we would thank Thee for this opportunity to be with Thy people, to attend to Thy word. We recognize that it's so easy for us to fall under the temptation of youthful lusts. And we confess how we have sinned against Thee over and over again. Sometimes because we keep falling into the same sin, we get discouraged. But we thank Thee that Thou dost not deal with us after our sin, but Thou dost encourage us to continue to follow after those things that conduce to strengthening us to flee from youthful lusts. We thank Thee for the reminder to pursue after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Help us, we pray, for Christ's sake, truly to seek after these things, not to let them drop by the way, not to allow them to become unimportant in our life as we pursue after the things of the world and give in to the lust of the flesh and the lust of youth. Lord, teach each one of us, especially be with our young people. They struggle so much, Lord, against the temptations of the flesh and of the world. Protect them from the wicked one, who would rather see them sin against Thee and bring shame to Thy name and much pain and sorrow to themselves and to their parents. Now be also with those of us who are older. Sometimes we forget that we can so easily fall into the same sin. We give in to them. Lord, help us, we pray,
not only to mature in years, but to mature in grace, that it may be true that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. So make us little by little more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ may be magnified by our lives individually, as families, and as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we would pray these things in His name. Amen. So now let us close by